everybody, and welcome to Dawn of X Book Chat.
Oh, I'm Rodders.
I'm Amos.
I'm Juan.
And I am Fox. And welcome back to New Comics, everybody.
Woo!
Okay, when I say welcome back, we're not going to have New Comics again for another, what, month?
Yeah, but July 15th.
Oh,
didn't mean to just kill the mood on like automatically, but like at least we have something. We got a little bit as a treat. Yeah, Marvel. Here's some Marvel's like to us. Like here's have some X comics as right. a treat.
Here's three little X comics for you to tide you over.
So. We're going to be discussing this week. We are going to be discussing Marauders 10, New Mutants 10, and Excalibur 10. And I feel we should probably start with the sort of divisive Marauders 10. Sort of. It's not like super divisive. It's just there's one scene that we are going to be a 50-50 split.
All right.
That's Rodders. That's your turn. Go. Take it away, friendo.
All right. Well, starting off with the best of the books so far.
Ooh. Wow. Ooh, this man.
Marauders number 10. We start off, you know, Ford is in... They're doing a distillery on Krakoa. So first of all, I got to stand because remember when Wolverine had to ship like foreign liquor before with Kate. Now they have liquor. So good for them.
Stepping up.
Good for Krakoa. That's how you know you have a country, when you can make your own liquor. But we see Tempo, which I'm glad we see Tempo because we haven't seen her in a while. And I hope we see more like more obscure mutants in the future. And I hope we actually get to see them more than like two pages next time. But then we find out that Emma and the Marauders team is setting sail to start a war to try to stop the technology that Forge actually created to stop the mutant powers. So they go do that. Magneto gives them the go-ahead. And we get a little inbox email from Kitty, which is very sweet. I'm not going to read it, but it is very touching. Everyone was talking about it online when it first came out, like 2 weeks ago. And then a badass Iceman Storm just pop up with their little freezing powers, and they stop the boat of the... I think they're Russians, right?
I don't know.
But they are not good people. Not good men. And they stop the boat, and Forge and Bishop get teleported on there and start infiltrating the ship. And Emma, and okay, the controversial scene happens with Pyro and Emma coming on board. And Emma's like, well, this is a job for a telepath. And she kind of shows her boobs. And she's like, I'm going to distract their minds. And I'm going to take over their minds and knock them out. And we all had some feelings about that, but we'll get to that later. And then Callisto comes and like almost shivs a guy in his face. And Emma does a really good thing. And I'm so glad like this got written in that Emma with the cuckoos like reframes their mind of bigotry. And it's like every time they think of cruelty against like, it says gay, disabled, trans, it doesn't matter. The thought of cruelty, those different than you, it will make you physically ill. So I was like, oh, that's good. And apparently Emma has a spaceship with her brother and destroys this the bad guy ship. And we're going to learn, Christian Frost tells Bishop that we're probably going to learn why they have this later. It's very, very much of a mystery. And then it shows that, you know, Forge is talking to his old scientist friend. And Emma is like reading his mind about to send him off to somewhere. But it kind of leaves us a clue that maybe she took the information about taking mutant powers. Many people have said that maybe it'll be used later. And then the last page, we see the Five talking to Xavier, saying how we cannot bring Kitty back. And then the next issue is called Funeral for a Mutant for Kitty Pride.
Okay, before we start discussing anything, I want to say one nice thing about Marauders. Because I never say anything nice about Marauders. So I'm going to say one nice thing. That panel with how hot Bishop is and how ugly Christian Frost is, I want to cut that out of my floppy. I want to roll it up, and I want to snort a blind of cocaine with it. Because oh that's how much God. I like it. Oh, that's how much I like that panel.
We've officially gone off the rails, everybody.
It's been like, how long has it been? It's been 10 minutes.
Lasted 10 minutes.
Not even, because we didn't even start the podcast since we did it. So it hasn't even been 10 minutes.
Okay, but
this issue, I know Fox and Amos were not as excited, especially after they read it.
Okay. I really like this issue. It was just that one moment. But I too will also say something nice. I think Bishop's red costume is very hot.
I think Bishop just is very hot.
He is. But that red costume looks so good. That was one of the coolest. I think I would, because here's the thing. I like coordinating colors. Yeah. I like pirate uniforms. Mm-hmm. And so I really liked that uniform for Bishop. It looks so cool. I want to see the design sheets for it. Like, I want to see like a process, like how, you know, what was his costume possibly going to look like. It just looked so good. Okay.
Especially because it's like modern, but still mm-hmm. plays respect to older looks of his.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So this is what I want to say about the Emma scene. I'm not against fan service. However, that was like being sent like a dick pic while I was trying to get to sleep. That's how that scene felt. Like, it wasn't very sexy. Like, if you want to do that, fine. Like, okay, here's the thing. If Duggan had actually made it look like sexually appealing to people who are actually attracted to women, I would have been okay with that scene. But the thing is, it just comes off as like poor fan service. And it doesn't completely make sense with Emma's power set, because she does turn into diamonds.
Yeah, but like, Amos, you have to remember that straight men don't care how they see boobs.
I know, but I care. Boobs.
I know, but you're not a straight man. Okay.
Can I say, my issue I take with it is they were four just random goons.
Yeah.
Emma's controlled entire crowds of people, has been able to telepathically link to people across the country using her powers without Cerebro. I don't understand from behind a wall how she wasn't automatically able to control them. Here's the thing, I don't mind fan service either. God knows I do not mind it. It makes, if they had said potentially like, oh, they were wearing power dampeners, like you remember in the Economic Forum issue of X-Men, I remember yeah. Xavier was having a hard time getting into the minds of the people attacking them because they were wearing psychic protection. Mm-hmm. If it had said that those guys were wearing psychic protection, fine, I would have understood.
Well, they did have psi shields.
It didn't make sense within context. In my opinion, I don't think Duggan is a bad writer, even in the slightest. I liked some of his, like, I loved his Deadpool. I was a big fan of it. But it just, for me, it just didn't make sense in context of the story. I liked everything else within the story, even the spaceship. Even the spaceship. That was so weird. That was so random. That's my favorite type of weird. I'm like, and he steers it playing the piano.
Which is really interesting because Christian's trained in jazz.
Yeah.
I don't know how he's steering it with like playing like jazz music, but I'm not gonna think about it. Oh, that's actually cool. I actually do genuinely enjoy that. What I felt was more off base was actually the speech that Emma gives. It feels I don't think it's a bad message. I don't want to like say that out loud. I don't want to say that because I don't that would be insincere that I think it's a bad message. I just think it's really weirdly placed in the story. I'm not against it. It's also the fact that it like just didn't talk about race. That felt like very weird for me for him to like leave out race. Because racism is as big of an issue as like being homophobic. But yeah. It's also like I feel like it's a bigger issue. So yeah. That felt like it just felt weird to me in the context of the story. I'm not against the message. I just don't like how it was placed. It just because everyone was like, oh, there's this one cringy part in Marauders, and I was like, and I, for some reason I glossed over the fact that Emma like took off her shirt to fight the bad guys. And I thought this was it because it just felt so tonally off.
I don't feel like it. I mean, I get your point. I feel like if he would have just added, like, if he would have said gay, disabled, race, trans, like, I feel like it would have, if he would have just added one word.
Yeah.
But I feel like maybe since he said oppressed minority, maybe that's what he meant by race. And then he, like, clarified more minorities by saying gay, disabled, trans. I don't know. I would have to ask him. But I get your point. I definitely agree with that. I like the message a lot, but I agree that it probably should have said race.
Yeah. And I would love, hey, Jerry Duggan, if you want to come on the podcast and talk to us, we promise there will be no, I will go to Alma's and I will put a tranquilizer dart in her to calm her down, and I will make sure everything is okay for you, sir.
But I gotta say one thing I was gonna say before y'all moved on about the Emma scene is that two things. One thing, Emma is known for doing random shit because she's bored and just wants to have fun. So that could be it, why she showed her boobs, because she's just like, you know what? I want to do something different. And that's totally Emma. Like, that's I have to agree with other people online when they said if it had been Storm or anybody else, no. But Emma, yes. Also, we don't know, because in past issues, they have had psychic dampeners because they could dampen their powers in general. So we don't know if it was said maybe in an earlier issue they had psychic dampeners and he just didn't say it in this issue because we're just supposed to remember or just assume. Or maybe he'll say it later.
It wasn't supposed to be months between the issues.
It also wasn't supposed to be months between the issues, so maybe that.
Maybe.
I don't know. But I will say right now that even though these were a week apart, Marauders is my favorite out of New Mutants and Excalibur and Marauders. I will say that. And I might be biased.
You're biased. Might.
But let's keep going since we're already like 15 or 20 minutes in, and let's go to Juan with New Mutants.
All right, guys. So we go from boobs to tripping out in Cornelia, Russia, where we are picking up on Flaviano's amazing psychedelic art, where this girl who's a newly mutant is in this kind of psychedelic dream, nightmare. It's her powers coming out, but it's coming out from fear, so it's causing all these, like, night terrors, which have already taken away Mirage, it's taken away Chamber, it's taken away, man, I don't know who all was in there. Mondo. No, not Mondo. It took away people, okay? They're under their control. So we go back to finding out that Danny and Boom Boom are outside trying to figure out what they're going to do because the Russian government's, like, standing around there waiting around with guns. And thankfully, in comes in Cypher with Wolfsbane, Wildside, Isako, and Mondo to help them out, to try to figure out what they can do to help get the new mutants that are trapped with this new little girl inside their nightmare dome. And there's tensions because Wildside is Mutant Liberation Front. They've had their beef with the New Mutants, so they're not happy that he's there. But he has the power of tampering with people's minds and kind of like doing hallucinations. So he's important to the story. So they're trying to figure out what they need to do. In the meantime, we get to check out the Russian prime minister. And he's smart because he's going to use the media to his advantage to make the mutants look bad in this scene. Meanwhile, we go to Magic. Magic's still on Krakoa. And she comes over to Glob, who's in his habitat at the Sexton with his chickens. We get some Glob chicken content, which we know everybody is wanting.
I've been waiting for that.
Glob.
And he's picking up little eggs. He's picking up eggs so that he can make some soup for the New Mutants. But no one's there. They're all gone. So Magic's trying to get some information from him and trying to figure out where they left. And he tells them that they went off to Russia because there's this little girl with power, with newly formed powers that they needed to go save. And Magic's asking them how Beak and what's her name?
Angel,
were discovered. And we find out that there's like a doxing thing for mutants. That people are doxing mutants. And I was like, okay, that's a little too real.
That is.
So they're the people that oppose the mutants are using social media to out mutants so that they can find them and comfort them. And then we get Glob's vegetable laksa recipe. Awesome. Hopefully someone makes it. Let's know how it is.
If we ever get together, I'm letting you all know I'm making that for everybody. And we're going to all enjoy some Glob soup.
Nice.
I love it. Glob soup sounds gross. Like, deal don't phrase it like that.
It's deal with veggies.
We're going to have Glob soup.
Hard-boiled eggs.
How about this is yummy?
So, Cypher is trying to figure out what's going on with this big orb energy. And he tries to figure out that this little girl is stuck in the dreams. And that she's actually in a nightmare. That her power is manifesting itself into a nightmare. And they have this great line when they're like, oh, thanks for Doug explaining it to us. Because they already knew that. But boom, boom, beam, boom, boom. Thinks, why don't we just blow it up? Because logically, sure, why not blow it up? Not knowing that it's tethered to the New Mutants that are stuck in there. So if they blow it up, who knows what will happen to their subconscious. And there's an interesting thing that Wolfsbane said as she approached it. She says it smells like medicine-y. Like, it has a smell to it. So then Danny has a bright idea. She goes, have you guys ever seen that movie from the 80s, like The Poltergeist? Yeah, they totally just poltergeist this whole scene, deciding that they're going to tether themselves and go to Carol Ann and try to get her through, get to her, to this little girl, through her nightmare scape by wrapping themselves up in armor? and try to reach out to this little girl. While that's going on, the Russian prime minister is over here talking all this smack, making up all these lies, saying that this is an attack from the mutants, that the mutants orchestrated this whole thing to make themselves look good because they didn't want to sign the thing for Krakoa, saying that they see them as a territory. And then we get a whole Dox mutants in Carnelia thing. So Armor, Wildchild, Mondo, and Cypher go into this nightmare world of this little girl to try to reach out to her, and it is trippy. Like, it's like Alice in Wonderland on acid. And Wildstyle tries to reach out to the little girl to make connection to her, but at that moment, she turns around and looks at him, and she's aware that they're in her space. And she grabs Isako's armor and starts pulling them in. And at that moment, Isako starts seeing her mom and her brother, who are both dead, and they're trapped in that nightmare scape now too. And that's where we left off. That's where we're done. They're in the nightmare world.
That episode was a trip.
Yeah, that was a really... So, I forgot, is Matt, it's just, so it's basically Magic and Glob are going to have to come to their rescue.
Apparently yeah. So.
That's going to be so much fun.
Especially because, like Glob, it's already been said that Glob's, like, goo stuff, like, keeps him shielded from a lot of things. Mm-hmm. So, that should be interesting.
Glob's going to dumb his way out of the situation, and it's going to be great.
I really how the new art, the new, I know everyone likes Rodriguez's art, and I think his art is great, but I kind of also like this artist.
Oh,
this
Flaviano? Artist is
fantastic.
Yeah, Flaviano. I think he makes it very cartoony and very childish. Which is a good vibe for this book, actually. Because it is like the New Mutants, even though the New Mutants are like older now, they're in their 20s, and so are like the X-Kids, because Glob's like 20-ish. He's at least old enough to be on a dating app.
Mm-hmm. He's old enough to party.
Yes. So it's kind of fun to have, like, it sort of feels like a book for young adults versus, like, how gritty some of the other X-books are.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially, like you think of, like, typical New Mutants art, you think Bill Sienkiewicz and that very, like, gritty, like, dark, nightmarish art, and then you see this art by Flaviano, which is completely opposite.
Yeah.
It's, like, vibrant and trippy and hard lines. It's really cool.
Style. I really loved it. What I am more excited about at the end of this, whatever this arc is how we get to see probably this New Mutant child, like, really expand her power beyond just being traumatic. You know, because she's going to be a force to be reckoned with, I think, if she survives.
Hopefully she does. I don't think they're going to kill any X-Kids anytime soon.
Right. Is this essentially kind of like Lady Mastermind's power, though?
But Lady Mastermind's power isn't physical.
I think this is more like Serafina, like the Children of the Atom.
Okay. Yeah. Huh.
Yeah. Maybe. Well, I think it...
I was just thinking, like, if it's similar to Serafina's power, we might see her in Serafina.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Yeah. For the Children of the Vault arc.
Yeah. Because I know, I was reading up on Wild Style, because I was like, why this guy? And I realized that Mother Vine kind of, when he regained his power through Mother Vine, it amped his power. And he can turn the nightmares that people see into realities. As long as he's conscious and connected to them, it becomes real. So I'm like, cool, you brought this dude that can turn this nightmare into a real nightmare.
But it already is real. He can put positive thoughts to people.
He wanted to put positive thoughts, but if it's already a nightmare...
But he can change the negative into a positive.
No, not if he gets trapped into it.
Well, not yet. Not, I mean, now it's over.
Yeah.
But, that was the plan.
Also, I was like, Mondo, what the hell is Mondo going to do?
Yeah, that was random. I think they just wanted to trap him in there just so they didn't have to use him.
Poor Mondo.
He's extra. Like, he's just there, kind
of. They just needed an extra someone to connect, be able to connect to Krakoa.
Right, true.
Basically.
So, what do you guys think about the whole doxing mutants thing?
I kind of like that they went with, like, dox. And not with the two X's, just with the one. Because it kind of shows that, like, at least the X archers are sort of paying attention to, like, the hashtags we use, everything we use to, like, talk about X-Men.
Yeah.
That's how it felt like to me. Because, like, they could have named it anything else or something, like, more mutant-related.
Right.
But they named it Dox Mutant. It's kind of like a fun, like, we're paying attention to you guys.
Right.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Well, look at our podcast.
I was like, oh, our podcast is in the comic book, but in a bad way.
Yeah, no.
Oh, no. But no, this was a really good episode issue, and I'm seriously a big food head. I really want to make that soup now. You don't even know. I was like, oh, soup. I like soup.
Soup.
I'm a 6-year-old old lady. I like soup.
Okay, so let's talk about the recipe for a little bit.
You got culinary friends. What's up with that?
I haven't showed that to them because I haven't seen them in a while. Also, this is like an East Asian recipe. It's like Malaysian. Mm-hmm. However, the recipe is written by a white man.
Yeah.
And I feel the spices might be off. Just like by taking a cursory glance at it, I was like, the spices are probably off, but I don't know enough about like Malaysian foods to argue about this.
See, Amos, we have established that Hickman doesn't cook.
Yes, but this is Brisson.
Yeah.
Oh shit, it is.
Greg Pak. Like Greg Pak is a great chef. Like the one tweet that Jonathan Hickman ever retweeted was Greg Pak's recipe. Like, you know the dude can cook. Just shoot him an email. Ask him if this looks okay.
Hickman doesn't ask for advice. Okay?
Again, this is Brisson.
It's Ed Brisson.
It doesn't matter. Okay? You were talking about Hickman. It doesn't matter.
Oh my God.
But Ed Brisson doesn't ask for advice either.
I mean, sorry.
I want him to do a Namor book. I want Greg Pak to do a Namor book.
Focus here, Pocus. New Mutants.
Sorry.
Laxy recipe.
Okay. I think there's tofu in there, but I think the way the tofu is prepared needs more work. I feel like I don't remember the recipe off the top of my head, and I don't have my floppy with me, so I might be wrong the next two words I say. But I think the tofu should be seared before
freezing. That would make sense.
That's like my only complaint about it. Like my
main
nitpicky complaints.
I was gonna say, I mean, it's also Glob making it, so
yeah, like, we don't know Glob's ethnicity.
Well, not even the ethnicity, but I'm like, I love Glob. Don't get me wrong, but like him cooking something. I don't know if I would trust it, honestly. Like, I don't know. I would, like, taste it a little bit, but I don't know if I would, like, devour it.
Okay, so here's the thing. Glob can eat bugs without finding it gross.
See?
I don't think we should trust Glob, but I think we should, one of us has to try this recipe, and we'll come back with the results.
Right.
Pitt's already volunteered.
Yeah. Okay, I
didn't say I'm gonna cook it soon.
I'll ask because it's Malaysian. I do have a Malaysian friend, so I'll ask her if the recipe checks out. It might not, but I don't know. Like, New Mutants was enjoyable. I liked it. A lot of people complained that nothing happened, and it's like, I guess, but it's also it has Glob, and that's all I really need.
Yeah. It had Glob, but did you see them globby cheeks?
No, I. Wasn't gonna look for that.
Yeah, like glob cheeks.
Like, okay, I get that. Like,
also, don't say it like that. If I can't not say glob,
he's all caked up.
Okay, like I get that. Not much technically happened in New Mutants, but New Mutants is always about the dialogue between them. Like, that's the basis of them, at least in my opinion. So, like, we got a really good dialogue in this issue. We got like funny dialogue and serious. So okay. I enjoyed it.
How much do you want to bet that Magic and Glob get together at the end of this?
I don't want that.
Magic's a lesbian. No.
Is she? No, she's straight.
Well, you know what? Her getting with Glob would make sense because, I mean, she doesn't really, probably doesn't care what people look like as much because, I mean, she is like queen of Limbo.
Yeah.
So.
Ruler of Limbo.
Ruler of Limbo.
Oh, but so. No, I will bare knuckle box Ed Brisson if he tries to put Glob and Magic together because no.
Glob deserves better. I love Magic, but Glob is such a sweetheart.
Yeah, true.
I mean, like, Brisson was setting up, like, I guess Pixie and Glob.
But
I don't know if they're going to pull through with that with, like, the comic delays. Maybe they change the plot to, like, I don't know. hopefully it's fine. And I don't ship Glob with anyone specifically. If anything, I want them to end up with Quentin. Because like, they're hilarious. The OG, because they're like the OG Omega Squad.
Yeah,
that's true.
So like they're kind of like the friends to enemies to friends to lovers. In my head, but like that's who I want Glob to get with, if anyone.
I just want the next issue for Magic and Glob to show up, and Glob brings his freaking pot of soup with him.
He just has it on the ship in like thermoses.
Yes, exactly. Well, Magic's gonna magic over there, so soup's still gonna be hot.
Okay, yeah. So hold on. All the children listening, close your ears for a second. I'm not gonna say anything bad. I'm not gonna say cuss words. Just close your ears. Okay. So one quick thing, real quick. Speaking of relationships with Glob, is he like asexual? Because how would he have relations?
Well, here's the thing. There's another X-Men who's been confirmed to not have a dick, and that's Santo. So.
Oh yeah, I forgot Rock
Slide. Oh yeah, Rock Slide doesn't have one.
So I'm guessing.
Doesn't stop him from being horny.
But like, how do they orgasm?
Well, they have asses, don't they?
Yeah. There you go.
Okay. Oh, ew. Ew.
Also,
I don't want to think about that.
They can astro project into like some kind of sex room. Do that.
I just had to ask because that popped into my head. I just had to ask.
Why would you do this, Rod? Why would you put us down this path?
You're gonna make our one loyal listener, Amanda, now that's gonna be our child.
I'm sorry, Amanda's child.
Darn it.
Okay, so let's move on to Excalibur,
please.
Okay, so a quick run through of what happened in Excalibur. So basically, what happens is that basically Jamie fractures reality. We start off in London where they're being attacked for being mutants, and it turns out that there's like that Jamie fucked with like their reality. So there's like a split reality where mutants are hated. And the real 616 Betsy, not the 616 Betsy that's in Jamie's reality. She's currently knocked out cold. And they kind of, and the other parts of the Excalibur team have to come save her. So they all become Captain Britain. That's basically the gist of what happens. And I thought it was a great issue. I thought it was nice. What's the consensus?
I enjoyed it, but at the same time, I was like really confused for a second. And then I was like, oh, Rachel's not really there, and they're not really lezzing out.
No, that made me sad. That made me really sad.
But okay.
But like, oh, go ahead.
But it does confirm, because it's all based off of
616.
It's all based on Psylocke, what's going on in Psylocke's head.
Right.
So that shows that, I guess, Psylocke wishes Rachel was into her.
Right.
Rachel being a lesbian, or at least bisexual, makes the most sense in the world, honestly.
Come on, look at her haircut.
I mean, not even that, just her personality in general makes the most sense. That's for her.
True. She's always having off that vibe.
Yeah, so, I mean, I dig it. But I mean, okay, so the basis of this issue is not what I wanted, but it is neat. It is well written. The art is beautiful.
Baby face.
Those are my positives. Did I care about this issue? No. But I will stick to those positives that I just mentioned. There you go.
You don't want to say anything negative?
And that's what my negative was. I didn't care about this issue because I feel like it really didn't do anything. Because, I mean, yes, it did do something. It made Jamie, I did like the scenes with Jamie, but Jamie did an alternate reality, made alternate reality of the Excalibur team and made them Captain Britons. That's nice, I guess. I don't like that. Because, okay, so when we saw issue 9 and we saw the white magic lady, I don't remember her name. She's not that important. I mean, I'm sure she's not going to be that important later. But we saw her with her little magic ball see the other 4 Excalibur people in Captain Britain clothes. And I was like, oh, they're going to get magic. That's really cool. We're going to see that. And technically, we are seeing the other Excalibur members with magic, but they're alternate reality versions of them, so it's not really them. I don't know.
This is the thing I tried to explain to him. I was like, Betsy told you that there was no Captain Britain core anymore. Like, there was no more Captain Britons in any of the parallel universes in the multiverse. She was the only one. So obviously they had to create that. They literally set it up and they showed you what was going to happen.
So the Captain Britain Corps is going to start off with alternate realities of Jubilee, Rogue, Gambit, and Richter?
Yes, that's what has to happen.
I mean, I guess.
None of them are from this reality. We already have a Captain Britain.
I know. I'm not mad at all the Captain Britons being mutants.
I think this is something important for, like, Excalibur. But Excalibur had a lot of, like, these interdimensional time-traveling stuff, like the OG run, the Claremont run of it. So they did do a lot of, like, interdimensional traveling where a lot of, like, crazy stuff happens. So I think this is a fun, like, we're staying true to, like, the title of the book. I'm going to say something that might be controversial coming from me. It wouldn't be that controversial coming from any of you. I kind of like this book better when Apocalypse isn't there.
Ooh.
What?
What
have you done with Almas?
Oh, shit.
This is... I think Apocalypse takes up so much space. Not just in, the covers and everything. He just takes up so much space with his personality in the issues that whenever he and Betsy are on screen, it feels like a dick measuring competition.
Yeah.
And not in a narrative way, more in the fact that they're both fighting for attention from the reader.
Right.
That's what we were saying in our last podcast. Like, it's just too much. They're two big personalities and big power sets for this book to really cater to both of them at the same time.
Mm-hmm. I think that's, like, my most controversial thing about it, is that I kind of like this book better without Apocalypse. And I know we just said that, like, last podcast that we didn't like, but I feel like reading this issue, I'm like, yeah, this book would be a lot better if we just had Betsy lead the team.
Right.
I agree.
Yeah. And I liked it because, like, it got more focus on the individuals. Like, I liked having that moment with Betsy and Jamie, like, that little battle they had, and then she, like, psychically whooped his butt, which I thought was really cool.
That was cool.
But, yeah, and like, I'm cool with, like, having off-on issues where, like, there's some issues where Apocalypse is doing his thing to Magic, to Morgan Le Fay down in his little dungeon, and then another one focusing on what Betsy and the gang are going through.
I think it would have been better if Apocalypse wasn't really a part of their team. It was just kind of like, hey, I see y'all are doing this. I got Morgan Le Fay and Jamie. I'll be right back. And then, like, we saw an issue of his doing his own thing. Then we saw them. He wasn't really, like, in the past issues really with them. Because then I feel like it would have been, like, more focused on all the other characters with Betsy leading them. And it really wasn't that, you know? But even though I didn't really care for this issue in a whole, I do see the point of how it is better without Apocalypse.
I do think it's a lot of fun to use Jamie as a villain again, but at this time he's just doing it to, like, mess with his sister. It's not to be evil. He's just doing this because he's a bad older brother. You know?
And I like he was, like, basically, like, calm down, girl. I'm trying to help you. And the outfits that they came out with were pretty rad. I like Richter's a lot.
They're pretty good designs, I do say.
It's funny that Rogue looks like the old vintage Betsy Captain Britain. With a little mask and everything.
I feel like they did that because isn't Rogue technically the oldest character out of the four?
I don't know.
Like creator wise, isn't she the oldest?
I believe so.
I think Richter is.
Richter came before Rogue?
Didn't he? Let me check this. I'll Google this. We have phones.
Yeah, that's
true. We have the technology.
That's true. We are not in the olden times.
Okay, so she first appears in 1981.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, I forgot Richter's name for a minute. Okay, so I guess Richter came 6 years later. I don't know why I got those confused.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I thought Rogue came earlier than 1981. That's crazy. No,
she came in 1981 in, like, Avengers.
Yeah, she was a villain in Avengers because...
Oh, that's right, yeah.
She was with Mystique at the time.
Mm-hmm. Her mama.
Oh, mama Mystique. Oh, my God, that's alliteration.
Mama Mystique.
Marvel Lovitz alliterations. Peter Parker, Miles Morales, all the other ones.
All the other ones. She's like, that is the only ones I could remember.
You right get two.
That's all that I can't do the rest. I don't know. Stephen Strange, I got it. See? Good. Look at that. Boom. Look at me.
Surprising none of the X-Men really have any of those. They don't have alliteration names. Cause... They could get Sue Storm.
Warren Worthington III doesn't have an alliteration name.
War Worthington. Yeah, I guess so.
She came in a blaze.
Yeah, because he's got that old English. You know, he's white for money. He's got to have an alliterative name.
I mean, you know, when you're right, you're right.
Darn, other Betsy Braddock.
Ha ha. Oh, look at you.
Also, Brian Braddock.
Also, rich white people.
Yes. There's a common theme.
There's a common theme.
They're also from, like, the early 80s, you know?
Yeah.
True. Or like, true. No, they're from the 60s, technically. Because I don't remember exactly when Betsy became a character, but it was a while ago. I think she's only like a couple of years younger than Warren chronologically. Not chronologically, okay. In publication history.
Wasn't it revealed that Warren and Betsy had like met each other in the at a Hellfire Club meeting? Like,
no, that's like Phantom X messing with her and Uncanny.
Oh, really?
Okay.
X-Force. Oh. I wish. There's so many good stories you can tell with Warren and Betsy, and they're never good. They're like, okay, I like Betsy and I like Warren, but I don't like them together, but also I like them together. Like, they have the potential to be, like, a good ship. However, every straight man just wants to break them up. Yeah, so they're barely together before, like, they break them up for, like, the trauma.
Which is so wasteful.
Which is so, just like, let them date other people at that point. Like, Neil was a better boyfriend to Betsy. And Warren had Charlotte Jones, and he loved her kid. You know, like, what's so bad about having Warren marry a black woman? Let him marry someone.
I think both of them are just destined to have bad relationships. Honestly, unfortunately,
most Marvel characters.
Most Marvel characters. That's what makes a good story.
No,
in any TV.
No,
in any
bite your tongue. No. Happiness makes good stories.
Hey, happiness is great, but look at every movie, TV show, and book. Drama is sadness.
Drama is sadness.
Okay, so there's nothing wrong with that statement. It's just like I would like for a couple to stay together for more than three issues.
Right. You're not wrong. I agree with you.
Like, okay, here's the thing. Okay. Even Shikla and Deadpool were married for longer than Betsy and Warren have been in a loving relationship together.
That's right.
That's how, like, bad it is with Warren and Betsy.
Speaking of which, I think it's really weird that, like, current timeline Warren has the thoughts of young Warren dating Laura Kinney.
Oh yeah.
So I'm like,
wait, what? He does?
Well, yeah, they all do.
Well, oh, not of dating Laura, but like with the memories of their younger selves.
Younger selves.
Yeah.
Which is such bullshit. Because I know that Beast should be using his magic in X-Force. He knows magic.
Exactly.
Oh my god, he would be using magic.
I hate the selective hearing that Marvel has. It's like talking to my dog. I don't have a dog. It's like we're talking to a cat.
You made up a whole dog for this.
I don't have a dog.
I have a cat. I just forgot he was a cat.
Okay. Okay. Let's
just like Marvel forgot that they know magic.
Almost.
Yes.
I know you made a joke about snorting stuff when we first started.
Did oh my god.
Actually.
I don't have a dog.
Her cat just anamorphed into a dog.
Well, that was Marauders and New Mutants and Excalibur.
I think we should also, to date this episode, talk about the ugly variants that we just saw.
Oh, God.
Okay.
I know we were talking about this beforehand, but I feel like everyone needs to know how ugly these variants are.
Okay.
They are ugly.
So I handle news, everybody. Let me talk. I heard. Okay, so Marvel being petty, and not even a good type of petty, a dumb type of petty, where it's not even entertaining, they released these things called Still Out Wednesday variants. And it's literally just the logo of the book, the title, well, it has the title, like if the character has like a logo, like the Spider-Man logo or like the X symbol or underneath it, and it says Still Out Wednesday. And that is all that is on the cover. And that is so dumb. That's so wasteful. As someone who has books coming out that have gotten pushed back so many times, but these stupid variants can just be announced and still come out, that makes me so angry. Because it's so dumb, and they're not even cool looking. They didn't even get cool. It's like the most basic font, too. They didn't even get a cool font. Put it in Comic Sans. At least be funny about it.
Right. The thing is, this is the company that has Tom Mueller on retainer for all the X-Books, and they couldn't throw him a few scraps of money just to do something?
Mm-hmm.
Like something cool?
Okay, so my main problem is that this like completely emphasizes their lack of graphic design team.
Oh, absolutely.
Because like you couldn't even pick colors that go with the logos, and this highlights how ugly some of the new logos are.
True.
Like I think the Fantastic Four logo is kind of ugly, like the newer one. And I also think the Hawksbox, I think they're kind of ugly too.
Lies. So. New X logo is gorgeous.
I guess I'm not really into like the modern feel of it. I kind of really like the classic design. So I'm
like, part of both. I like both.
Like I'm like I mean, I'm very nostalgic.
I got the new one as a tattoo. So
girl, I got a tattoo for a logo that hasn't even been released.
Like for me, it's very like I don't buy into nostalgia bait, but that's like the bit of nostalgia bait I'll buy into, you know.
Yeah.
I just thought they were really ugly because they chose pastel colors, and that's not very so comic dumb. Booky.
No,
no, it's not.
That's like Waiting Room magazine.
Oh God.
I feel like.
Go ahead.
I know. I feel like they were like looking at Tumblr edits. And, like, how we all use pastels for our backgrounds because we're lazy. No offense to anyone who does comic book edits out there because I know how hard it is.
Full offense.
But we do, like, use a lot of pastels because it's kind of easier to work with than a black background because you can, like, adjust with the layers how it looks. But that's the point here. I'm not going to give, like, a lesson on Photoshop because I don't really know how to use it yet. However, it feels like they were just looking at those edits and were like, huh, what if we just put, like, white text on a pastel like these people do? These people get, like, 50 notes. Maybe we'll sell, like, 50 copies. That's how it felt.
you know. Yeah, no, it was. It's just. It's stupid. It's pointless. It's a. In my opinion, it's a waste of. It's like they said they gave it to an intern. Be like, hey, intern.
I think that's absolutely what they did.
Do you want to do something for an afternoon? You can we'll let you go home early. Just make up. You got to do like 11 at most.
Okay, so I'm going to be perfectly honest. I was at work most of the day. I don't know what is being talked about. I was kind of just phoning it in about the covers. But I haven't looked at them. And I don't know what is
being talked about. I just showed it to you.
Oh, the little X thing with the circle.
Oh, that? and you were literally making fun of Almas about her dog.
I didn't imagine that I didn't see it. I just didn't remember because I wasn't paying attention.
That's what I'm showing you.
The giant size in a circle to the X thing.
Like, yeah, on sale.
Oh, is that the cover to the thing?
That's the cover.
That's the cover. It just says on sale Wednesday. Ew. Why? Okay,
this all proves is that Rod does not listen to Juan, and we're going to have a talk about that.
Oh, destroy my goddamn life.
No!
I'm supposed to marry this person.
No! I do listen. Why? I just get distracted.
By Glock Butt.
I just get distracted, and I've had a little bit of alcohol. It's okay.
A little bit.
Okay, we've officially gone off the rails.
It's okay.
It's our first issue back. First episode back.
I know, it's the first one with new comics, and it's so fun.
Okay, yes. So we don't have any news this week. No. We did get an updated release schedule for all the X-books, so I'll just list them off here. Because, I mean, God knows the new release for comic for Marvel is all over the place. Some weeks there are only collected editions and then, like, some digital releases. And I don't know when anything's happening anymore. I don't like it. But the release schedule is... We literally have to wait a month between comics. The next Dawn of X comic that comes out is X-Force 10 on July 7th.
Then Jesus.
It's horrible. Then July 15th is Giant Size X-Men Magneto. And then July 22nd is New Mutants, Wolverine 3. Oh, sorry. New Mutants 11, Wolverine 3, Hellions 2, and Empire X-Men number 1. Also, it's not listed on this checklist, which is weird to me. But I'm pretty sure Fantastic Four X-Men number 4 is supposed to come out on the 22nd.
Yeah.
And then July 29th is Cable number 2, X-Men number 10, and then X-Factor number 1.
Finally!
So, yeah, that's
just 3 months late.
Yeah. And we still don't even have a Children of the Atom release.
Nah.
Which sucks because they're supposed to be on the Ten of Swords event.
Well,
that's right.
Oh, yeah, that was weird. In Marauders, if you looked in the back of Marauders for the checklist from like when it wasn't corrected, is Children of the Atom was a red highlighted issue, so it was supposed to be important and to come out before X Factor. So like that makes me double angry that Children of the Atom was supposed to come out before X Factor and be more important. But now it's coming afterwards, and X-Factor is going to have a whole 2 issues up on the series.
The thing, too, though, is, like, I feel like they had to rush X-Factor before Child of the Atom, because they already teased X-Factor at the end of Excalibur, number 9.
Okay, so that's fair.
I'm like, okay, I get it. You teed yourself up, now you have to follow through.
Okay, here's my wishful thinking for it. That they're not stomping Children of the Atom because it's written by a person of color. That they're just moving it further down so that it makes more sense to release it like maybe 2 issues at a time when Ten of Swords comes out. Or maybe they're just rewriting like Ten of Swords in its entirety because they have more time to work on it.
Right.
Or maybe just like rewriting small parts of it.
Okay, here's my theory. Because, hold on a second. If you look... I know Jordan White said it was an incorrect list, but I'm pretty sure I can still use it as a basis for what is going to be a possibility. So all the tie-ins for Ten of Swords were supposed to be like, it's going to be X-Men 12 through 14, Excalibur 12 through 14, Marauders, X-Force, and New Mutants 13, Wolverine 6, Cable 5, and Hellions 5, and X-Factor 4. So we know for specifics that we know for a fact that the first one shot of X of Swords is coming out in September. They already confirmed that. And then we have through all the way through, we know what's coming out in July. We have that all, you know, we have it all the way through the 29th year, and it confirms that X-Men 10. So if we look at it, that would mean if they're only do like say one issue of X-Men in August, that would have it up to 11. So that would mean that X of Swords would start in September. So maybe Children of the Atom is starting in September.
I mean,
I don't know.
It's weird. I'm trying to line up the numbers and my brain is not working for me right now.
I can't even understand like how those are going to line up with each other.
Yeah.
I think they might have been... hopefully it's not snubbed because I was really excited for Warren Jr. I'm very excited to have another Warren-adjacent character because then I can have the monopoly on them because nobody's going to like them. I hope people like the Children of the Atom kids because I kind of like them from like their design. I think they look very cool. I'm a sucker for kids who are like who look up to older kids. You know, I'm a sucker for like the mentor mentee relationship. Right. It's very cute.
I don't think that they canceled Children of the Atom for I the doubt sake. It. Okay, because. What's his name? Jordan did like about 2 weeks ago. Jordan did tweet out the group, you know, the group Zoom of the X Riders, and Vita was still there.
Hopefully, like, because here's the thing: it doesn't make sense to like to hype up this book so much to the point where they were like in the New Mutants 5, I think, that came out in December, that they had all the habitats named, and there was a habitat that wasn't named. So they were kind of building up to who the secret group is. And it's obviously Children of the Atom, looking back in retrospect.
Yeah. You know? And I really think it's going to be September because, like, even books that haven't been on, you know, anywhere are going to be coming out in September. Like, what's it called? I think Conan and my favorite, Magnificent Miss Marvel, is coming. It was confirmed to come back in September.
So far away.
Yeah, I know it hurts really bad.
Ridiculous.
So hopefully the two books I'm most excited for, you know, Champions and Children of the Atom, both come out in September. And I think in a recent interview, Jordan White said that he was making they made it bigger. They made X of Swords bigger. Hold on a second. I do.
Yeah, they extended the issue count.
Yeah, hold on. They made it beefier. Yeah. Hold on. Yeah. I have it right here. Okay, let's go over it. I'll just do the question. In the past, you've talked about how beneficial the lead time on House of X and Powers of X was, and how you've been trying to achieve something similar with X Swords. Has this downtime had any positive effects on the story that has been, on the stories that have been delayed? Has it allowed for any additions or revisions to improve quality? Jordan, yes. Without going too much into it, yes. It certainly has given us more time to make sure X Swords is the best story possible. But we also did take the opportunity to make it a bigger story. I'm pretty sure when we first announced it, we said it said how many chapters it will be. It's going to be more chapters than that now. Originally, every book of X of Swords was going to be out in July. Now it's going to take more than a month to tell the story. But I think it's very good, everybody... I cut off. Hold on a second. sorry. So the first issue is totally drawn and mostly colored. He talked about how everybody says the art is really good. And he also said they asked how far ahead on the books are you now. Jordan says, well, not as far ahead as we could have been because we did take the opportunity to double our efforts on this rather than moving forward faster. We put more into X-Swords now than we would have been able to before. What we had planned to do and what we'll end up doing, there's a world of difference between that. I think it's an improvement. So maybe that's, since... Go ahead.
That's a scary sentiment.
How so?
I don't like when they're like, oh, we're going to add more issues, because what if this decompresses the story? I don't want to read X of Swords if it's like 20 issues of like nothing really happening.
I don't think it'll be like that only because...
But Hickman is like that, and he's writing the other half of it.
Okay, so he's only writing the... I'm guessing he's going to be writing maybe one of the one-shots and the X-Men issues, but everybody else is writing other issues. So my guess, because I remember in the Amazon thing, which I'm going to again note, Jordan did say that was wrong when I added him in it. Children of the Atom was not included. So maybe they did include Children of the Atom now. And there are three one-shots. We do know X-Men, X of Swords creation is coming out in September. I wonder how many other tie-ins there will be. Because it says it was supposed to start with 12, so.
Listen, I'm excited for X of Swords, but hopefully it doesn't get too decompressed because of this. Because that's a problem in a lot of events. And I feel like every time we read through an event, we're like, oh my god, nothing happened, but everything happened in like the last issue and a half.
Right.
That's how we always feel when we read an event. And I mean this, other than House of X and Powers of X, but that's different because that was a reboot.
Right.
But like every single time we talk about it, we're like, oh my god, this took forever to say nothing.
That's true. I mean, yeah. But I feel like they have such high expectations with this because A, it's Hickman's first big crossover event throughout all the X lines. And this is also the first crossover event through all the X-Lines, now in this new, like, status quo of the X-Men. So I feel like they know that there's a lot that they have to live up to. And if they add an issue or two extra, if it's giving me more development of, A, the story, the plot, or the characters, I'm all for it.
That's what I'm hoping for. I'm fingers crossed, knock on wood. I think this is wood. I don't remember what my walls are made out of.
Was it glass?
No.
Was it a fish?
No, it was my wall. I live in a loft building, so some of the buildings are... So some of the walls are concrete, some are wood, and some are, like, dry plaster. Is that what it's called?
I don't know.
Drywall?
It might have been a lizard camouflaging.
Okay.
Anyway. So I did a little bit of looking at all the books that are supposed to come out in August. And if X-Men and Excalibur are supposed to start their X of Swords tie-ins at issue 12, it looks like Excalibur will be able to start in September if they wanted to.
I hope so.
But I think, hold on a second.
Give it like a month and Marvel will switch the schedules again. They're going to be true. Like, they're okay. Going to pull the rug from under us.
Okay, so X-Men, so it looks like what tie-ins to X of Swords coming out in September will probably be X of Swords creation, Excalibur 12, and X-Men number 12, because X-Men 11 does come out in August. So it looks like those will be the first tie-ins, and everything else in September will be normal issues, And then we'll go like full X of Swords into in October, which, dear God.
Okay, I'm going to say something controversial. I don't want them to overwork the writers or the artists, but I think releasing the books in September is a financial mistake on them.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're losing on the college kid market, first of all, and you're going to lose like the high schooler crowd too. Because at this point, like, I usually during September, I become like disinterested in comics because school is starting anyway. So,
hey, but you have a podcast to be a part of, and that comes before education, that young lady. Do not make me come over there.
Listen, like, I'll still do the podcast, I'm still gonna do the podcast. That's not what I'm saying, but I'm saying that as I haven't been into comics for like a while now, I usually notice that like I have a different interest in September because my schedule is still adjusting. So having a huge event during that time is sort of like shooting yourself in the foot.
Right, I get that.
Yeah, because this was like, supposed to be their big summer event.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want them to like rush the artists or rush the writers. I want to see like a nice completed result. But I feel like it would have been at this point just a logical move to like move it to like November during Thanksgiving or something.
Maybe.
I mean, like more of a holiday thing where like people are going to have more free time.
Well, that's the thing that's going to be awkward because they're releasing the Free Comic Book Day book in July 15th. Mm-hmm. So, and that's supposed to set up things for the future as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, so now the whole schedule is going to be all wonky.
Oh yeah, I forgot. That was the one bit of news we got this week. We got the announcement that the Free Comic Book Day is going to be coming out in July. I think it's like July 18th.
15th.
Well, it has to be the 15th because that's when. Or did they move the day entirely? Because 15th is a Wednesday.
Oh.
It's the 15th, and then the following one is the Spider-Man one.
Oh.
Okay. Because I was just thinking, because like the Magneto gets released on the 15th.
Yeah.
Okay. Hold on one second. I know I saw this somewhere. Oh yeah, July 15th is going to be the Saturday when it's released. So, oh wait, yeah, it's a Free Comic Book Days are supposed to come out on Wednesday. They're supposed to come out on Saturdays. Rude. No, I don't like this. At least if you're going to mess up the schedule, at least have it come out on a Saturday.
God, I just realized they're having Free Comic Book Day on a Saturday. But, like, they're branding themselves as people who only release stuff on Wednesdays. Marvel, stick true to your, like, release schedule.
Right.
Don't make shitty covers that nobody wants to buy.
Yeah, nobody's going to buy. Those covers are going to sit on the shelf, and it's going to be a waste.
Yeah,
they could have just released cool variants, but no, we got to be petty on the fly.
Yeah, have to give interns a job to do.
Yeah, but okay. So, well, you know, here is one positive I can say about it coming out on the 15th. One positive I can say is that gives us another comic to discuss that week.
That's true.
Because that week is going to be, hold on. I know I had this schedule here. Bum-ba-dum-ba-dum-bum. Yeah, that will be the, we're going to discuss that the same week with X-Force 10 and Giant Size Magneto. So, yeah, so that's going to give us three comic books to discuss that week, everybody. That's at least something. Gives us more than two.
Okay, so I think we're kind of done talking about everything we want to talk about. But before we go, we're going to have Brian Hill on soon.
Yes.
And that's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. However, if you guys want to send us questions or if you want to, like, send us questions to ask him, we're at Doc's Book Chat on Twitter. So please send us questions there and we'll have like a thread for it. And we'll also have the Curious Cat up. One of us will tweet it. You can just add us randomly and we'll respond to you and have that question put in for a book for later. We're really excited to have him. So like in a couple of weeks, you're going to get like a really solid Fallen Angels discussion.
Yeah.
But I think now we're kind of wrapping up, unless we have final remarks.
No, I don't.
You doing okay there? You doing okay there, Rod? We're good. We're good.
I'm okay, good. Cool. I said all my feelings.
All right, everybody. This was a really good episode.
Okay.
It was really fun.
Okay. Do any of us want to sign off?
I will sign off. Thank you, everyone, for coming and joining us in our habitat. I am Rodders. You can find me at Rod Bunny Slay on all the socials.
My name is Amos. You can find me at Unworthingtons on Twitter. And you can find me at Diamond Gore on Archive of Our Own.
I am Juan. You can find me at ChongoATX on all my social media platforms.
And I am Fox. You can find me at AgentFitz777 on Twitter. And that is where I will be and where I will be forever. Dun, dun, dun.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.